Do you need help protecting your finances as you enter retirement? David Dickens of KC Financial Advisors has got you covered. Welcome to the Cover Your Assets KC podcast.
Well, thanks for being here for another edition of the Cover Your Assets KC podcast. I'm Walter Storholt here with David Dickens, the president and founder of KC Financial Advisors, serving you throughout Kansas City with an office in Overland Park. You can find us online at coveryourassetskc.com. David, thanks for taking some time out to join us this week. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great, Walter. How about you?
Very glad to hear that. I am well and looking forward to our conversation today because we've got some good stuff to dive into. Over the next couple of weeks, in fact, we're going to have a little mini series for you here on the podcast where we're going to kind of answer the question, is it good or is it bad? And we're going to approach that from multiple different angles. And for this first edition of the is it good or is it bad version of the podcast, David, wanted to focus on life insurance, and specifically the debate of term life insurance versus permanent life insurance. What about that debate should we know, and are those good or are they bad?
Well, so that's a big question, and it's a lot easier to answer when you have somebody sitting in your office, because then you know their specific situation as to whether any of them is good or bad for that particular person. So I guess what I want to preface these remarks are by saying is, as you're listening to this podcast, I'm not going to give specific advice to you, to any one particular listener. Ultimately, you really want to get some good advice from someone who's acting in your best interests as you determine how much life insurance, whether you should have life insurance, and what kind. So, I don't know, maybe, Walter, a good place to start is just a kind of a quickie little definition. Term life insurance is not at all unlike the car insurance that you buy on your car. And you buy that car insurance, for instance, for a year. And if nothing happens, then arguably you wasted the money on that premium that you paid because you didn't have a wreck. Term life insurance is similar in that if you don't die during that period, then you arguably wasted the money that you paid to the life insurance company because you didn't die. Nobody got a payoff on the insurance you bought. But it's also really, really cheap to do it that way. Whereas permanent life insurance, you pay in and pay in and pay in, and typically what you do is you build up a cash value. And that kind of acts like an investment account, a side account. So the two types of insurances are really different. They're important almost always because you're putting that money aside to provide a death benefit to somebody really important to you, probably your spouse, maybe your kids. But it's that death benefit that you're actually, selfishly, you're hoping to never use because that means you're not here anymore. But the reason you'd have it in the first place is in case you're not here anymore.
Yeah, I think, a reason to celebrate losing money is not having to cash in a life insurance policy, right? Like, that's not a bad thing, even if you do kind of view it as wasted money. Still, it's better than the alternative, I suppose. But where are the differences? You say it depends. What is someone or a situation where somebody would be a better fit for the term insurance side, where that would be viewed as a good thing rather than a bad thing? And then kind of the same way with permanent insurance. Where is it a good idea for somebody, but also a bad idea for someone else?
Okay. Well, I think about term insurance. Typically, that would include young families all the way up to, you know, when you still have kids in your house. So let's just say families where the adults are 20s up to 60s. The reason to have term life insurance is because it is cheap, cheap, cheap. And it keeps getting cheaper because we keep living longer. So you may not know this, but your probability of dying in those years is way less than the probability that you become disabled. So disability insurance is really important, but life insurance would be kind of your catastrophic safety net for your family. And so it's super cheap to have. I think of a couple that I work with right now. She's late 30s. He's early 40s. They have a fairly large family of kids, 5 or 6 kids. And one thing I noticed in talking to them as they were becoming clients is they had a nice amount of term life insurance on him, but they had none on her, which it didn't make any sense to them as to why they would want that. My point to them was if she dies, he is going to have a job and a career to keep up and 5 kids to take care of. Ooh. And so the life insurance was important for both of them to have. And since it's so cheap, it's not a big financial burden on a young family. The financial burden would come in if either of them dies, and it doesn't matter that one of them works outside the home and one works in the home. So what I suggested to them is they didn't need to get that life insurance through me. They could, as a financial advisor, and hopefully somebody that works best of breed and not just with one company. But they could go to a company agent. Frankly, I told them they could go search it out online if they wanted, because term life insurance is very much of a commodity. They just want to know how old you are, medical history, and then their actuaries look at a bunch of tables to say, well, if this person's only 38 years old and they want a 10-year policy, it's a very low likelihood that that person's going to die in the next 10 years. And then they just put out a price. And when I go to look at life insurance policies for somebody like that, and I scan 10 different companies, there is hardly any difference in the price, the monthly price of that policy from company to company to company. So that's an example of a family that would need term life insurance. They're trying to protect against the breadwinner or the caregiver not being around anymore. Now, what type can they choose from? There are different types of term life insurance, and I mostly look at things that are level pay. So in other words, the premium stays exactly the same month to month for a period of, say, 5 years or 10 years or 15 or 20 or 25 years. So for instance, if you're 40, you might want to look at a 25-year level pay term life insurance policy. And all that means is up until the year you turn 65, you're going to have that life insurance in place. They can't cancel it, and you don't pay any more in year 24 than you did in year 10. So that, I think, is the best way for a young or intermediate-aged family to make sure that they're covered from some sort of catastrophic death of one of the partners.
How do you kind of help simplify the understanding of these things, David? Because I start, and I don't know if a lot of people are like me or not, but whenever you start talking life insurance and then you hear that kind of verbiage, it's period, term, certain with the death benefit rider of the 10th degree. You know, your brain starts to scramble a little bit. So I'm sure you help break it down a little bit easier in the office so that we're not having to try and keep up with all this terminology that, unlike you, we're not ingrained into, you know, every single day.
Well, I do, and a whiteboard is a dramatic help. And obviously, there's not a video feed with this podcast. But what I try to convey to these types of families in their 20s, 30s, 40s, and 50s is that all you're doing here is buying a death benefit, and you're trying to buy it as cheap as possible from a highly rated company. And you just as soon know how much you're going to have to pay for that in your 50s, especially if you're sitting there in your 30s, because it's easy to understand as a listener to this podcast. The older you are, the higher the probability is that you are going to die, and the insurance company knows that. So what I try to get my clients to see is that we want to lock in certainty when they're really insurable and relatively young, that takes them all the way to the what we think is going to be the end of their working life. There are very, very few moving parts with this type of insurance. I've mentioned a number of different terms, but there are very few moving parts. All you're doing is paying a monthly premium for a set death benefit, and what you'd like to know is that your cost of insurance isn't going to go through the roof as you age.
All right, good overview, David, of life insurance from the term side of things. What about that permanent side, the good and the bad there?
Okay, so permanent life insurance is where it really gets complicated, and there are a couple of really important choices that you make on day one that are going to last for quite some time. So what a permanent life insurance does is it has a death benefit component and an investment component. And that investment component is really a buildup of something called cash value. So without getting too far down into the weeds, in fact, without getting into the weeds at all, let me give you a couple of examples of clients that I work with that own permanent insurance, and I'll tell you why they wanted permanent insurance. How about that?
Okay, sounds good to me.
So one client that I think of, he's in his late 60s. She's still working, and he retired about 5 or 8 years ago with a pension, and he chose a 0% survivorship. In other words, if he dies tomorrow, she doesn't get any of the pension. And what they did at the time was they funded this death benefit for her using permanent life insurance, such that whenever he does die, she doesn't get any of the pension, but what she does get is a tax-free lump sum of money from this life insurance policy. They got a permanent life insurance policy to do that. Unfortunately for them, they bought universal life instead of whole life. So what they have right now is a premium that goes up each year because his cost of insurance goes up each year. They got a policy from a person they don't work with anymore that unfortunately was the wrong type of permanent insurance. So as you're looking at these policies, make sure that you're talking to somebody who is acting with your best interest in mind and is making sure they understand what you're trying to do with this policy. I have a second client, and I actually put them in this particular strategy. He's a doctor. He's in his mid to late 40s, and he has way too much in his 401k, and he's going to have a tax problem when he gets into his 70s. Anybody in their 70s knows that they have to start taking required distributions out of their 401k. His, if he keeps on that track, was going to put him in a very high tax bracket permanently. So what we did was we had started putting those excess 401k contributions into a life insurance policy, an indexed universal life policy. Way too complicated for this short podcast, but what it's going to do is allow him to have a source of tax-free income when he gets into his mid-60s that he otherwise would have a totally taxable income for the monies he takes out of his 401k. An unusual use, but not all that unusual, because most members of Congress and most CEOs in Fortune 500 companies have that. It's kind of a high net worth strategy for providing tax-free income for yourself in retirement. And then I have a third group of clients, and one in particular I'm thinking of. They are already over 70 and a half, and they already are taking those required distributions out of his 401k, and they don't need that money. So what they decided to do was put into a permanent life insurance the same amount of money each year. And what that's going to do is provide a tax-free inheritance for their very large number of grandkids. So this is called a second-to-die policy. There are no bells, there's no whistles, there's no cash value buildup. It's the cheapest way for them to get the biggest death benefit, and it's a home for the reinvestment of their required minimum distributions, those monies coming out of their 401k, instead of putting it into a taxable brokerage account, they're putting it into this life policy to provide a tax-free death benefit to the grandkids. So those are three different uses for a permanent life insurance policy. And it gets fairly complicated. So again, what you want is some good advice from somebody who understands the landscape, but there are a lot of things that you can do with permanent life insurance that you really couldn't do with term life insurance. So I don't know, Walter, that we kind of started out with who needs life insurance. Well, almost everybody needs life insurance. The question is, what type and how much? And the types vary widely depending on what you're trying to make your money do for you and your family.
Sounds like the first decision you try to make is, what kind do you need? And then from there, you can kind of get into the details. You know, the first important equation is term or permanent going to be right for you? Or some mix of the two, I suppose, ends up working for some folks occasionally. So interesting to kind of see how that debate settles out, David. Thank you for all that great information and kind of giving us the skinny on the moving parts there surrounding term and permanent insurance. The end of the story, it neither is good or bad, right? We have great uses for both of those. Just depends on your situation.
Exactly. You know, one other thing, Walter, I know that there are a lot of people that listen to this podcast that are still working, and they might have term life insurance through their company plan. So kind of as the bonus finish to this podcast, the premium you pay in your life plan through work is almost always going to be higher than a term policy you could get on your own if you're in good health, because the company policy is guaranteeing that they're going to issue that policy to everybody, whether they have heart difficulties or whether they're whatever their medical situation might be. if you have a really good medical situation, you're very likely to have to qualify for a lower premium for your term policy than the one you can get through work. So that'd be worth checking out on your own.
Absolutely. If you need more information about the things that we've talked about on today's show, I encourage you to go to coveryourassetskc.com. Lots of great information there on the website, within the blog post as well. That's coveryourassetskc.com. Or you can call David and the team at KC Financial Advisors at 913-317-1414. That's 913-317-1414. Both great ways to get in touch. David, thanks as always for the help, and we'll talk to you next week.
Looking forward to it, Walter. Thanks.
That's another edition of the Cover Your Assets KC podcast in the books. For David, I'm Walter. We'll talk to you next time. Investment advisory services offered through Brookstone Capital Management, LLC, BCM, a registered investment advisor. BCM and KC Financial Advisors are independent of each other.